Here in Daniel chapter 2, God troubles the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. He has this amazing dream, and he needs an interpretation of it. Well, over the course of the rest of this week, we'll spend time in Daniel chapter 2 exploring this dream and its interpretation. Well, today, we begin a message called God Troubles the King. And that's exactly what we find in this dream. It is rather troubling. Not so much for the content. We'll see that later on this week. But spiritually speaking, he has no clue what it means. And nobody around him can tell him what it means. God is definitely troubling the king. Let's explore this passage together, shall we? Daniel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Here's Chris.
In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. And the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty you're trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. There, we'll end today the reading of God's word. Well, we saw last week that the bill was before our governor, and they're wrestling with, and most likely, I don't know if he signed it yet or not, that in the court in California, the cases of custody battles in the courts, in those cases, that they would side with the parent who affirmed their child's preferred gender as a way of protecting children. It's an evil bill that shows how far we have progressed into the lawlessness of our times, that also shows how prevalent custody battles are and divorce in our culture, so that this problem is now normalized and this is what we're dealing with. But immediately after this week, the senators called for Christians in California to leave. Republican State Senator Scott Willock of Santa Clarita called on parents to leave the state, warning that legislation like AB 97 would not stop at divorce proceedings. Well, that's interesting. The situation before us in Babylon is much worse for Daniel and his people. Much worse. I want you to imagine for a moment, I posted this thought this week, but I think it applies as we go into this sermon today. Imagine the breaking news today in Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar and Darius signed off on 3 new tyrannical bills. And here's what those bills sound like. Bill number 1. Tell me my dream and its meaning or you will die. Bill number 2. Whenever you hear my summons, bow down to the new golden image or you will go into a fiery furnace. Bill number 3. Whoever prays to any other god than Darius will go into the lion's den. Imagine if you were in California and that happened. Jewish officials, we could imagine, immediately called for Judah to leave Babylon. Problem? Well, in that case, God had appointed 70 years for them to be there in exile. What do we find in the book of Daniel? We find something that we rarely see today in the midst of all this. How, and I think this is so instructive for us, how did Daniel and his friends handle things like this? What did they do in moments like this? And the surprising giveaway from our text, which shouldn't be a surprise, is they did something that didn't seem so revolutionary, did it? They gathered in prayer. They gathered in prayer. And asking, just like the apostles in Acts chapter 5 and 6, 4, that the Lord would give them boldness and deliver them. But Daniel prayed, summarizing the prayer, "Blessed be the Lord. All wisdom and might are yours. You change times and seasons. You remove and establish kings." You might even say, even establishing Nebuchadnezzar. "I thank you for you have helped us." That is before us this morning. This is the scenario before us this morning as the last verse of chapter 1 left off with that surprising sort of provocation, if you will. "Thus Daniel continued until the first start of King Cyrus." Daniel stayed. Daniel was preserved, but not Nebuchadnezzar and not Darius. In a very short time, according to Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar and Darius are taken away in judgment, and Daniel and Judah are the ones that are preserved. And that brings us to the central theme this morning that I want to engage with you for a few moments. And it is this great truth that I think we need absolute perspective of in our time, because I'm not sure we appreciate this truth and have to have this simple truth set before us. And it is that God controls the affairs and the hearts and the minds of every ruler that is in authority. The book is showing us how God is working in the midst of opposition and in the midst of lawless times, that God, first, that God has appointed us to be in Babylon for a time. And we look at that as Revelation develops that theme. And I think the Bible will come more to that. But that he also wants to display for us that we would live in confidence. He has all power and wisdom to preserve us in the midst of the worst of times and the worst of trials. God is that powerful over the king's heart. But even more importantly, the Lord is actually doing something. Remember what we said last time? He's working in surprising ways. He's actually doing something surprising here, that he is actually stirring up the hearts of rulers, stirring up kingdoms of this world to bring turbulence at time, to bring turbulence for a very important purpose. That when he does this, he's about to showcase his Christ. That he rules in the midst of his enemies, Psalm 110. And that's what really is before us today, as now the Lord begins to provoke the king. He provokes the king's heart. And from this, we learn our responsibility and place in moments like when we are living, when times we can't flee really what's happening. Our calling is to look to the Lord in prayer and to trust that what is happening along the way is his way of stirring up things to showcase the kingdom of his son. We're simply onlookers at his wisdom and his power as we trust him in prayer. So we begin today with Nebuchadnezzar's tyrannical demand that ignites the persecution in Babylon. It really is tyrannical. This is craziness. This provocative summary, Daniel was preserved until Cyrus, not Nebuchadnezzar, but now the turmoil begins. That's the tie. Verse 1. Now we read that in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. What we read here, what we should read, is that God begins to harass the king. So much so that his sleep is lost. Now, God is even in control of that. He gives his beloved sleep. And you can pray for that. But now he's harassing the king. As I've said, God has this much control over and power over all the rulers that he has appointed. He is in their minds if he wants when they sleep. He's in their minds when they sleep. And we're going to see next week this dream was a preview of coming attractions. God was showing Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom is about to be broken into bits by the power of Christ and his kingdom. And that it a kingdom that is coming that will never be thrown down. That's really the heart of the vision that we're studying next time. But his proposal is madness. Imagine this for a minute. He says, I've had a dream and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. The charlatans, of course, seize opportunity, don't they? The charlatans in the kingdom take opportunity to step forward and make their prayer to their king. Oh, king, live forever. That's not a little prayer. It had just been said that Daniel would be preserved, not Nebuchadnezzar. You will live forever, O king. You are the king of kings. The contrast here then really becomes between God's prophet who prays to the Lord and Nebuchadnezzar's magicians who pray to him. Calvin says they're just a bunch of windbags. It's absolutely right. Look at their arrogance. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't even know the dream himself. I don't know if you caught that. The Chaldeans prided themselves at this time on being able to interpret dreams. It was a big thing that they sought to do. And Nebuchadnezzar had all these magicians and astrologers and the Chaldeans whom he had set up in the practice of magic, in mediums and seances and all these things that are condemned in the scripture to get into dreams, the realm of the dead, all that stuff was there. And here he rehearsed this dream, and had Nebuchadnezzar rehearsed the dream, he knew that they could simply play the charlatan role and come up with some bogus interpretation. But I thought as I read this week and stood back from this and gave reflection on it, that it showed the limitation here of the king. Are the kings of this world, the rulers of this world, the presidents of this world, they have little control over anything. They don't know much of anything. Are they really in control of their kingdoms? Is our current president really in control of America? Is it really Bidenomics? Well, the wise men say, tell us the dream, and we will give you the meaning of the dream. And here begins the tyranny in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't even know the dream. So he makes a decree knowing that he's dealing with charlatans. You're just playing games with me. You just want time, he says. You tell me the dream itself and the meaning, or else there's one decree for you. There's one thing coming for you. I will rip you apart limb from limb. There's something important, I think, here up front that has to do with revelation. A prophet in the last chapter had just been established in Babylon. And think about the prophet Daniel that had just been established. And here are his wise men. And a prophet, they all know, communicates the mind of God, the will of God, the voice of God, the speech of God, all those things. But they're not prophets. Nebuchadnezzar is so weak. He has no light. He has no revelation. It's clear here, his darkness that he's in. His kingdom is about to fall. And what was revealed in the dream was so troubling that it immediately threw him into panic. By the time the dream was over, he couldn't even remember it. He didn't even know it. All he knew was something bad had just been revealed in a dream to me, and I've got to get down to the bottom of it. No revelation from God. That's the truth of our leaders. Ultimately, they have no clue. This is what you're frustrated about. They have no clue. When it comes to spiritual things, if they have not embraced Christ, they have no understanding in these things, but they have no ability to control their kingdoms. They have no ability to control their lands as much as they try to. They have nothing. They can't control the future. It's completely dependent. And I think that's what's being shown here powerfully. It's all completely dependent upon the Lord, who raises up kingdoms and tears them down. They know nothing apart from the Lord revelation. That's true. And that's why I think we can look at our leaders today and see how blind they are in their causes. They have no true light, no understanding. And that what they are doing in the decisions that they make constantly is that they are in distress. This is what leaders do. They sit alone and they're in distress about holding on to their kingdoms. And so they make the worst of decisions. God has harassed him here. And he is thrown into panic in this first section. So here's what he does. He commands all the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. I remember reading years ago when Hillary Clinton was in the White House, she contacted a medium to talk with the dead. She said, I occasionally have imaginary conversations with Mrs. Roosevelt to try to figure out what she would do. I don't know how that went. Mary Todd Lincoln, Nancy Reagan, at least these are the reports, turned to spiritual practices like seances and astrology in their positions of power to get light, to get revelation. They didn't call in Pastor Gordon for some reason to pray for him. I'd have gone. I'd have paid for the plane ticket. Same situation. Nebuchadnezzar has decreed death. What a dilemma. This is an important point. When rulers turn to tyranny, it knows no favorites. It knows no favorites. It's madness across the board. And the wise men of Babylon are now all put in the predicament. They answer him and they say, there's not a man on earth who could do this. No king has ever demanded this in the history of mankind. You're demanding that we get into your mind, think about this, and we not only give the interpretation, but we go through the fine details of the dream itself. Who's ever demanded that? What astrologer has ever accomplished that? What magician? The gods. Notice this little interjection here. The gods whose dwellings are not with man, who don't dwell with flesh, they only can do that. What a little provocation in the midst of all this. Where is God? Is there a God over all the earth? Is there a God, the God, the only true God, over all the heavens and all the earth? And does he communicate with us? Because this is exactly where people are without him. The larger issue comes to the surface. What we don't realize is what brought this provocation. It was God himself. We look at everything so wrong, I think. We're panicked by the changing times and the changing seasons. we look at the evil that happens in the world, the lawless tyranny of leaders, the crazy laws they make, what has brought them to this point? It's all desperation. These are desperation responses. Do you ever look at the madness in society and the madness in the world and the things that go on and the lack of reason? We're constantly saying this makes no sense, and we're showing how this makes no sense as crisis responses. Crisis responses because God is bearing down on them in their kingdoms. Now, what is our response at the moment to what we perceive as lawlessness? Well, there's different responses to all this. One is flight. It's one response. That was out. God had appointed 70 years in Babylon. They couldn't flee to another safe place in a state to get away. God had come precisely to raise the forefront the greatest issue in Babylon. God's people were there, like the Egyptians. The Babylonians were about to learn something. This is where I think this is so helpful for us, beloved. The Babylonians were about to learn something. They were on the brink of learning something really big. They were going to learn what Rahab and all the inhabitants of the world so far had learned. Remember what she said? When we heard of it, how God delivered you, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God, now listen to this claim, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. That's a huge claim. All the inhabitants were learning it. Babylon hadn't learned it yet. You ever stop and realize that all this evil and lawlessness is happening because the rulers and their kingdoms of the earth are sensing the crumbling of their kingdoms? Does anyone think the United States is doing well right now? It's crumbling. Why? This nation shouldn't be crumbling. The most resourceful nation on the face of the earth, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Why? It's crumbling. Because somebody's intervening. And he's about to do something through the witness of his servants. I think that's how we have to look at things. Why are things going the way they're going? Because Psalm 110's happening. Christ is ruling in the midst of his enemies. Here's how he does it. He's breaking the kingdoms when they go beastly like this. We've looked at that principle in Revelation. When the kingdoms of this world begin to overexert themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, he begins to showcase his power in surprising ways.
Well, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day, spending it with us. Here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, we do trust that our time together today has brought about some real encouragement in your walk and relationship with Christ. We'd love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us and let us know how the broadcast encourages you in Christ. Now, there are a couple of ways of reaching out to us. You can visit us online, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or by calling 888-504-8805. If you have questions, write them to us, questions@agradio.org, or use your voice memo app on your smartphone or your device. Record your question, and again, mail it to us, questions@agradio.org, and we'll do our best to answer them as they come to us. Abounding Grace Radio is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you like to follow. And if you have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, well, we are listener supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program, how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, well, get in touch with us. As always, no gift is too small or too large. One-time gift, recurring gift, it all sustains this broadcast here on this station. You can go to agradio.org and donate online securely, or call 888-504-8805, or send your donation via mail, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.